came to the right place for the best coverage of the University of Utah. It's the Bill Riley Show, presented by Shields on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
Bill Riley Show moving along Tuesday. O'Connell and Swinney coming up after we're done here today, keeping an eye on Euro 2016. Hungary beat Austria just a little while ago, and Portugal and Iceland are going right now. I'm not quite sure Iceland's got much of a chance here, but that good-looking man, Cristiano Ronaldo, is leading the charge out front here today for Portugal. And, of course, United States playing in Seattle coming up on Thursday night, and, of course, right here on Thursday night on ESPN 700, we will have Game 6. Yes, there will be a Game 6 in the NBA Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. Our next guest covers the National Basketball Association for ESPN.com. Always kind enough to carve out a few minutes. When we call up and ask, Israel Gutierrez with us from ESPN.com. How surprised, Israel, are you that we have a Game 6 coming up?
Slightly. Until it went to 10, I'd go maybe like a 5.5. Not that I thought it was automatic that the Warriors would win, but I just thought that Clay and Steph would get hot, and playing at home, that would be enough. Part of the problem is only one of them did, and the other part of the problem is everybody else was terrible around them, maybe outside of Iguodala. But most pitch was bad. Harrison Barnes was horrible. Sean Livingston was okay. And so the only person that played well enough to help make up for Draymond Green was Klay Thompson. Everybody else played average or below average, seemingly, to their game. So it doesn't shock me. I've got another funny, and it's not even a conspiracy theory. It's just kind of one of those deals where karma kind of works this way sometimes. I saw two screen grabs yesterday of whether it be ads or something related to the championship that were released early, and it both had championship celebration of the Golden State Warriors and 2016 champions. And something in my head said immediately, yeah, I think the Cavs are going to win now. And this was something at like 6:30 in the evening yesterday, Eastern time, before the game started. I said, yeah, I feel like the Cavs are going to win. I don't know why.
You know what? We were talking about this yesterday, and it's really surprising to me the amount of chatter from Golden State toward LeBron James, making it personal. I mean, and I don't mean the chatter on the court. I mean the social media stuff and the stuff that played out in the media, toward LeBron James. I can't remember, outside of maybe the bad boy Pistons of the early 90s who weren't afraid to say anything to anybody at any time. Yeah. But the NBA hasn't become that kind of league, and it was surprising to hear Thompson and Curry and Curry's wife, of all people, taking very public shots at LeBron James because their teammate had the audacity to hit him in the nuts and got himself suspended.
I mean, I would argue that his side of it is that, as Aisha Curry mentioned, he could have walked around him in any fashion and he chose to step over him, and that's just as much of a disrespect. Not only is it not disrespect, I mean, you can look back to every famous time that has happened, whether it be I guess the only objection would be Tyronn Lue, but when Scottie Pippen dunked on Patrick Ewing and walked over him, Patrick Ewing responded the same way, flailing on up in the air toward what you're going to be able to hit in that scenario. And so in their eyes, he wasn't the instigator, nor was he the guy who did the worst thing. And so I understand their perspective. And the other part about that is. In terms of people talking, and there's LeBron James is the target. He's divisive. He's a lightning rod. And when he sits up there and laughs and says, "I'm going to take the high road," which is not really taking the high road. Announcing you're taking the high road is not how you take the high road. And so when he does all that, that affects him personally, and it makes him want to say things. When he pleads to the league, according to sources who have said as much, that you suspend Draymond Green, that bugs him because not only does it taking away one of their best players when that person, again, in their eyes, did not instigate anything and didn't do anything worthy of a flagrant foul, is taken away because this guy, LeBron, is desperate and wants to win a championship even if it means not playing against the best competition. So you put all that together, it's enough to get you excited, to get you angry, it's enough to get you to speak out. And frankly, what I think people are surprised by is that it's the Warriors when really They shouldn't be. Like, the Warriors are what, you know, because Steph Curry is who he is, and he's such a, you know, seemingly a great role model, especially off the court. This guy is dancing and shooting and celebrating more than anybody in the league. His confidence is right in your face every single time. Klay Thompson, you know, I don't know what it is about him that makes people think that he's not, you know, a tough, vocal, you know, in-your-face competitor. Maybe because most of the time he's winning, he doesn't have to be, you know, as, you know, vocal or boisterous or what have you. But he's a tough SOB, if you will. And you throw Draymond, who sort of is the picture of it. I mean, this team has had so many successes over the last 2 years that they are completely confident and want to tell you about it, and that's just their personality. So I think people maybe misjudged them as these choir boys early on because they were so much fun to watch and Steph Curry leading the way, but they're a bunch of, you know, angry competitors at times, and this side will show.
Why do you think there's such an outward disdain for LeBron James by a lot of, not just Golden State fans, there's a lot of people. I find a lot of people, when I make the argument here in Salt Lake City, of all places, that he's the best player on the planet, and there's no argument about that in my mind. I love Steph Curry and great MVP season, but to me, nobody impacts the game. We saw it last night like LeBron does. People have a very visceral reaction. And to me, Israel, outside of the slight misstep, the public misstep with the decision many years ago when you were probably covering him for the Miami Herald, I don't know that there's anything out there. He plays the game hard. He's not a bad guy. Is it because he's so good? I mean,
I can tell you exactly what it is. If you really break it, if you really take a LeBron hater and really just give him and just ask questions, just fire away with questions at him, and you'll get to this. He doesn't seem genuine. He seems disingenuous. And I'm not saying it's true. It just comes across that way. He seems like he's not relatable. And, you know, because Michael was Michael. And Michael didn't have, you know, whether you wanted him to be more vocal, more political, whatever, he was just him. And you always, and he was consistent, and his personality was what it was. You know, with LeBron, it's passive aggressiveness. It's inconsistency. It's indecision. It's, you know, this desire for power and then denying that you have it. Like everything, not everything, but a lot of things around him, about him, seem disingenuous. And people, and that's not just something they could actually even point out sometimes. They just, it's just a feel. You just have that feeling. This guy seems not to be real. You know what I mean? He just doesn't seem like a guy that I can relate to. And I think that's the biggest problem with him, and in terms of likability, because everything else that you mentioned is absolutely correct and absolutely on point. There's no reason to have this hatred for him or this type of, you know, feeling, natural just sort of feeling, negative feelings toward him. It just doesn't seem like genuine to some people.
Well, I don't feel that way, and I've dealt with athletes for 23 years, professional college coaches and things like that, and I had a pretty good read for it. He seems to me as genuine as most professional athletes are today, and maybe we've seen him since he was 18.
I don't know. I don't think so at all.
You don't
consider exactly how passive aggressive. I mean, his. If you ask people what his one of his greatest personality traits, it's this passive aggressiveness. It's how he approaches things. And so when you've got somebody whose primary way of settling issues is to kind of work around the edges and find a way to get a message across without being direct, then they're going to question that. And you know, talking to players around the league, talking to fans around the league, that seems to be the one thing about LeBron. They love his game. They want to embrace him. And so you want to go into, you know, on the court stuff, and you know, his biggest criticism was, oh, late shot, not going, this and this and that. Well, that only adds to the narrative. Oh, okay, this guy isn't what he's trying to portray. He's not the greatest. Look, he doesn't even take last-second shots. And so it all just plays into that same narrative of him sort of putting across something that he isn't. And it's unfortunate that you get those natural sort of emotions in the way because, again, if you just appreciate him as a basketball player, there's nothing to dislike.
Did you find him to be tough to deal with or disingenuous when you were around him in Miami?
I didn't find him to be tough to deal with at all. I found him to be easy to deal with. I never felt like it always felt like he was holding something back, or it always felt like you never really knew what he was thinking. And then there were times where you would think he'd be going in a certain direction with something, and he would just give you a surprisingly different opinion or something just contrasting, just seemingly sometimes just because. But for the most part, no, I found him easy to get along with. But again, even to me, he never seemed like somebody who warmed up to, you know, to the people around him outside of his teammates, or who you felt like, hey, I trust that guy. I want to have a relationship with that guy, professional relationship with him. And yeah, it just never came across that way. And you know, a lot of people thought that. But it could be because, you know, he was looking at this as a short-term deal. It could be because maybe he never really felt at home as much as he does in Cleveland. It could have been just a bunch of reasons, you know, not saying it's an indictment of his personality, but it's just not somebody that, yeah, I felt he was just not somebody you would want to, you know, warm up to, if you will.
Yeah, that's a very interesting narrative, because you certainly have been around him much more than I have, because it sounds like when we're talking here, Michael Jordan never let anybody in, and he was a bit of an ass. Well, not a bit of an ass. He was a total ass to his teammates, but he was seen as a hard, tough competitor and kind of a steely guy. But it's almost as if LeBron kind of wants to let you in a little bit, and because he opens that door just a little bit, that maybe that's where that comes from. Because Michael was never any of those things, but we kind of, it's almost as if we knew exactly who Michael was because he wasn't letting us in. All right, he's just kind of an ass, but he's a great player. LeBron almost seems to want to walk from what you're saying, both sides of that fence.
A little bit. I mean, he definitely likes to be liked. I mean, that's the whole, you want to talk about the amateur psychoanalysis. But, you know, the idea of, you know, growing up single family home, mom wasn't even that reliable early on. Didn't have any siblings, you know, his teammates were his family, et cetera, et cetera. So the idea of him wanting to be liked, like he will absolutely want all of his teammates to love him. Like that's what this whole argument is in Kyrie and Kevin Love in Cleveland over the last 2 years. It's, I don't want to just be your teammate. We need to be brothers. We need to be together, da, da, da. And so, I think he definitely has that angle to him, but he also has a defensiveness to him. Defensiveness that I think comes from, it comes from that same thing, like not wanting to be wrong, not wanting to be disliked, and, you know, he knows there's no real incentive for the media to love him. They want to be critical. That's kind of, you know, we're supposed to be the skeptics. And so I think he recognizes that it's, you know, his personality probably shouldn't have been wasted necessarily on us, and so you get a different version of him. And I'm of the opinion that if Michael Jordan played in today's era, where you were even more visible, and there's social media and there's cameras everywhere, there would have been people that disliked him too. Because that Steve Kerr story, getting punched in the face, wouldn't have just come out. It would have been covered, you know, day and night for a week straight, and people would have wondered what the heck is wrong with you, Michael Jordan, you know, stuff like that. So it's a different era, and where all of your personality flaws are exposed if you're that type of great and that type and seek that type of spotlight. So again, it's not an indictment on LeBron in general. It's just we overanalyze guys these days, and he's a guy that's kind of easy to overanalyze.
Moment or two more with Israel Gutierrez. This is a fun conversation about the inside of one of the great players in the game today. Back to the basketball itself. It goes back to Game 6 in Cleveland, and obviously the Warriors are going to get Draymond Green back. They didn't have him last night. They may not have Andrew Bogut. We'll see what the situation is. He's getting the MRI today. But what do you make of this series shifting back to Cleveland? Obviously Golden State won in the last game in Cleveland, but do Kyrie and LeBron now realize, hey, if we're going to win this series, we've got to do what we did? Because I kind of think they do. They'll get contributions a little bit from Love, a little bit from Smith here and there, and Tristan Thompson. But, you know, do we see a different approach, or maybe the same approach we saw in Game 5 coming up in Game 6?
Well, it will absolutely be the same approach. It's have the game of your life again. That's basically what the approach is. Because if you look at the numbers, you know, this was not something that Kyrie Irving can sustain, not even for three games, much less over a course of an entire series. I mean, his effective field goal percentage through, I think, the entire playoffs is in the mid to high 40s. and his effective field goal percentage yesterday was 80+%. And so it's more likely that if he takes those same shots next time with a better defender on the floor and Draymond Green, especially on the pick and rolls or on the flat out switches, he won't be shooting nearly that effectively. And LeBron James hasn't been shooting from the perimeter very well at all. I'm not going to rule him out getting hot again. He's done it for a couple of games in a row. But again, the numbers don't really support him being able to sustain that. So if the Warrior supporting cast plays better, which you can't really bank on that on the road, but you're going to get better defensively from Draymond Green. You're going to get better offensive flow with Draymond because he really knows how to move the ball. And frankly, it's probably the best at grabbing it off the board and pushing for early offense. So it's going to feel different. But if the Cavs are hot again, yeah, they could absolutely win this thing and force it to seven. But I've been telling people all day long that you can't really panic when it swings one way or another because you just got to look at the big picture. And in the big picture, almost every time in the NBA, the better team wins 4 times out of 7. And I think most people would agree that the Warriors still are the best team. Now, have they deteriorated enough with Andrew Bogut not there and maybe Steph not 100%? Maybe. But right now, my faith is still in the Warriors and winning this somehow.
In your opinion, does a win or a loss in this series for LeBron change the way he's either viewed or how his legacy looks at this point in time? Legacies are really built as you go, and you don't define them until your career is done. But does anything impact? Does a win or a loss do more to impact here, LeBron?
For the series, I mean, a championship or no championship?
Yes.
Game by game for the series. Here's what I think, and I think his opinion is probably changing game by game too. I think that he thinks that he's got a reliable star teammate in Kyrie Irving. In this respect, I can not even try to have a great offensive game and know that if he's on, he can carry us. And that's a great luxury to have, and it's something that he needs, given that he's aging and not shooting as effectively, as efficiently as he used to. But I think that he thinks that, yes, we can still work this out in Cleveland, but I don't think he thinks that Kevin Love can be a part of it, and I don't think that he thinks that, all the pieces around him are necessarily correct. So basically, if they lose this series, yeah, I think he's viewed as a guy who's now 2-5 in finals, could be the next Jerry West type, the next, you know, Wilt, who's going to have a great career, great record, but not enough championships to satisfy people. But in his mind, he's still got a few more chances to at least win one in Cleveland, which then he can sell it as, hey, that's more, that means of, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 in any other city or any other of these franchises that have won a ton. So he could look at it and say, yeah, I'm good with that. So I think he's got probably, personally, I think he's got at least another 2 years in Cleveland to give this thing a really good go. And then if he gets really desperate after that, he'll probably bail.
Last thing, back to the personality thing. Contrast and compare when you covered the Miami Heat for the Herald, covering Dwayne Wade versus covering LeBron James.
I think what Dwayne's kind of, it's interesting. I've covered in his entire career from his very first game until now. And his, so you see him evolve as a person, whereas I only saw LeBron as often as I did for 4 years. And so he was already who he was. And I think what's been intriguing about Dwayne is that, he's always been a guy who's open to talk to reasonable people and makes himself available to the media. And so he's always been great. And he gives you very little reason to be negative, whether it be on the floor or off the floor, very little. And so he comes across as genuine and likable. LeBron, I think it's different because it feels like you're not covering a human being, if that makes sense. It feels like you're covering a force. He is LeBron James, and he got here into Miami when I started covering him regularly as this, this being, or this guy who's going to be the next Michael Jordan. And so you overthink yourself sometimes. Like you say, okay, what do people want to know because I've got him available? And so it doesn't even become like you're talking to a human being. It almost feels like you're, talking to a legend already. And so it just feels different, if that makes sense. And that's just my perspective, again, because I've been around Dwayne his whole career, was really only around LeBron for 4. But that changes. I mean, it's just the way you think of him in general. Like, people think of Dwayne Wade, oh, man, great, one of the most fun players to watch, one of the best of all time. But, he's really, 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 really good in history, whereas LeBron could be the best ever, and it's just looked at differently. So I think that plays into how they're covered and how people feel around them.
Hey, thanks for taking a few minutes. This was a fun conversation, and thanks for your insights on this, because you've got some unique perspectives having been around these guys and obviously covering the NBA, but being around them in Miami
That's
quite a bit too.
Because I don't normally get questions like this, therefore, you know, it leads to an interesting conversation, so thank you.
Hey, I appreciate it, Israel. Have a good day.
Yeah.
All right, Israel Gutierrez with us here on the Bill Riley Show.